you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for January 22nd, 2021.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Music has the power to educate and activate, as well as entertain. Joe Landy is an Ecologic Collective member and a great singer-songwriter. Take it away, Joel.
Well, thank you very much, Donna, and thank you, Ken. And good afternoon, everybody. Today's show is all about the power of song. Can singing together and other art forms save a planet? What is the role of music in social movements? I want to introduce to you Ben Groska. Ben is executive director of the People's Music Network for Songs of Freedom and Struggle, a diverse community of singers, artists, and activists that cultivates music and cultural work as catalysts for a just and peaceful world. PMN hosts regular online song swaps involving artists across the country, and you can find them at peoplesmusic.org. Good afternoon, Ben.
Joel, thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
And it's great to be with you, too, as always. Now, there was a movie Pete Seeger was featured in called The Power of Song. You and I use these words all the time, but for those who are not familiar with these words, what does the power of song mean to you?
Well, I think that it's that you can capture something about the desire of human beings to be free through a song that is hard to put into prose sometimes. It's that reaching down into the depths of the human soul to feel the rhythm and to hear the melody that can create a vibration that we can send to each other. And through when we combine those powerful things that reach down into the depths of the human soul with lyrics that actually convey a message of liberation, we can actually move people into action and change the world.
So you're saying, so yeah, that's one of my next questions to you. What does it matter? Why does it matter that people sing together?
Well, you know, we're really faced with that question now in the pandemic in a different way, aren't we? I mean, I think before the pandemic, this idea of being able to be in a room and feel those vibrations with people and like to have this wall of vibration coming at you, and then to have that vibration contain these ideas, you feel like you're, part of something. When people sing together, they're synchronizing their breathing in a way that, like, in this highly, the society we live in doesn't train us to think in collectives, but singing actually is a practice that gets us into a collectively oriented mindset where we can also bring our own individuality.
Now all movements have their music. What examples can you bring to the attention? I talk about this Steve Suffett talked about it when he was on the show. Pete Seeger always talked about it, and he was an example of it. What examples come to mind in terms of social movements when music is involved?
Well, there's so many. I mean, I think that, you know, right now in our midst is the Poor People's Campaign, which has made music a very central part of its practice in terms of mobilizing poor people to fight for fundamental changes in the society, you know, a change in addressing economic inequality, racial injustice, militarism, and the rot of the consumer society we live in. I think that it's interesting. I've worked with them a little bit, and, you know, they are an interesting case where they're really using music in such a strategic way. Like, they actually have, like, a songbook. They're a real movement, right? And there's a songbook that goes along with that movement. Now, they're inspired by movements that came before them, like the civil rights movement and so forth. And then, you know, the other side of it, too, is, I think, you know, having all that groupness of the singing, you need certain songs for that. And the other piece of it is, what does the individual songwriters bring to it when they're able to express something kind of unique? Like a different take on how we view the world. Can we view the world through a more critical lens when we just listen to one songwriter go into depth on a particular matter?
Now I mentioned before, and again, everybody, this is Ben Groskopf. He's the executive director of the People's Music Network. So now I have to ask you, what is the People's Music Network, Ben?
Well, we are a membership organization that historically has been based in the Northeast, but increasingly we are gaining members from all over the country and all over the world. We have 400 members, and we, as you mentioned, host these online song swaps, which are built on a tradition that goes back 40 years. We've been hosting song swaps at our gatherings, which, you know, traditionally have taken place in person in these three-day events, for all that time. And you mentioned Pete Seeger. He was one of our co-founders. He and a small collective of activists in Washington, D.C., organized the first major People's Music Network winter gathering in 1981, which is the year I was born. Actually, I was born a few months after that. And ever since, this organization has been bringing musicians, activists together, people who are using their music for peace and justice, and facilitating a community space in which those artists, in which those activists are able to gather together to share skills, to share inspiration, and to develop the craft of using music as a tool for social change.
Yeah, a full disclosure, I've been a member of PMN since 1990. And, well, that goes back only a couple of years, doesn't it? Some artists would tell you that with PMN, they have found their tribe. I know Joe Jenks mentioned it. The artists and activists they care to consider their extended family. PMN is like that. If anything, Ben and I have said make you feel a tug of interest, of curiosity, perhaps you're looking for your own kind with which to share your art and vision of the world, go to the PMN website, peoplesmusic.org. Maybe it is a place you want to be. And saying that, why don't we play some of Ben's music, and that would illustrate the kind of organizing and activism he's involved in. How about it, Ben? You want to set this up for us?
Thank you, Joel. The song you're going to hear is called No More Sacrifice Zones. I wrote this song inspired by a book by the journalist Chris Hedges. He wrote a book in 2012 called Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. And in this book, he really is talking about the way in which the capitalist system lays waste to the entire world, but unevenly. Like, specific places get sacrificed first, and those are the places that are most powerless and the places that are really at the mercy of a merciless corporate state that extracts everything in order to increase its own profits.
Okay, let's hear that song.
The army closed you in as they drove you from the plains. your homeland to a sacrifice zone. The company took the uranium, just the fallout remains. Returning your homeland to a sacrifice zone, where your story's been forgotten, we will make it known. Pine Ridge, you are not alone. Your homeland has been desecrated. The next could be our own. No more sacrifice zones. No more sacrifice zones. The state makes voting obsolete through emergency decrees. They're turning your city to a sacrifice zone. The cops occupy your street to bring you to your knees. They're turning your city to a sacrifice zone, where your story's been forgotten, we will make it known. Ferguson, you are not alone. Your city has been subjugated. The next could be our own. No more sacrifice zones. No more sacrifice zones. The coal men blew the mountain, killing everything nearby. They're turning your region to a sacrifice zone. The state refuses to help your people as you watch them die. They're turning your region to a sacrifice zone, where your story's been forgotten, we will make it known. Appalachia, you are not alone. Has been desolated. The next could be our own. No more sacrifice zones. No more sacrifice zones. The profiteers will cut you down if you're in their way. They're turning your country to a sacrifice zone. The bombs that kill your children came from the USA. They're turning your country to a sacrifice zone, where your story's been forgotten, we will make it known. Yemen, you are not alone. Your country has been decimated. The next could be our own. No more sacrifice zones. No more sacrifice zones. Where your story's been forgotten, we will make it known. Pine Ridge, Ferguson, Appalachia, Yemen, Immokalee, Flint, Michigan, Northern Alberta, and Camden, Standing Rock, Navajo, Palestine, and Puerto Rico. We stand with you, you are not alone. Your lands and lives were sacrificed. The next will be our own. No more sacrifice zones. No more. more sacrifice zones. No more sacrifice zones. No more sacrifice zones.
Great work, Ben. You want to talk a little bit about songs? Tell us a little bit about who have you shared this song with and how effective is it? So this is a great example of an organizer. How is it?
Well, you know, I use this song in a lot of different contexts. You know, I've kind of settled on the lyrics you just heard with that song. I started writing that in 2016, and I've used different verses depending on the different situations I've been in, you know. And that's one of the things I think that as really politically attuned songwriters and musicians, we all need to do. It's kind of starting with the politics of the situation that you're in. And you being clear about what your own politics are, and then being able to sort of like use these tools of communication that, again, reach down into the human soul and try to, like, you know, use what you can as an artist to speak to that part of a human existence in order to, you know, put forward a progressive agenda. Various places that have been sacrifice zones, you know, like here in Western Massachusetts, where I live, there was one time a situation where they're in the small town of Sandusfield, they were building a pipeline through. And I made a verse about that, you know, the pipeline and all the devastating impact that was going to have on the community, just for example.
Fukushima.
Yeah. If I was singing this out in Japan, no doubt about it, Fukushima would be would have to be some kind of verse or at least nodded to.
So you sing at rallies, strikes, picket lines, and of course your own events. But talk about your activity during this pandemic. How is it possible for activists to take the street during a lockdown?
Did you say to take the streets? There's risks involved. I mean, you know, I do a lot of work with nurses unions and have sung at least at a few rallies during the pandemic about the the terrible situation that frontline healthcare workers have been facing, and you know, people standing with masks 6 feet apart. You know, but it feels a little muted, you know, because you want to get to really sing. You don't want to have a mask on and everything. But then it's kind of, you know, not very safe. So one of the things we're doing right now with the People's Music Network, particularly this upcoming winter convergence, which you can find out about again at peoplesmusic.org.
Oh, yeah, you've got to talk about this. It's so timely. So I hope people at home listen to this. You're invited to participate in all of this. Go ahead.
Yes, so this, again, is a 40-year-long tradition. And then for this year, it's coming, it's going to be online, right? For the first time, we're really doing like an educational workshop.
Uh-oh, we seem to have lost Ben.
Well, he's going to talk about educational workshop. Ben, you're back with us.
Yeah, right. Okay. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
We had a cosmic hiccup, but that's bad. Please tell us more about the BMM weekend.
Thanks, Joel. So, yeah, I mean, we've done this for 40 years, and we have a traditional kind of format for the gathering. And we're doing some adaptations on that traditional format to make it work for Zoom. But the core of it is still educational workshops. And one of the big topics on people's minds is, how do you sing together with other people safely during a pandemic? And one of the ways people can actually do that is by we've got a number of software developers who have developed a number of ways that you can actually really sing together with very low latency. Latency is like if we're on Zoom, my voice speaks, but then it actually, you hear it a few milliseconds later, and then that gets kind of weird to sync up if you're trying to sing together. So there's some software that can address some of that, but also there's a thing called driveway choirs where people are staying within their own cars, and then they get a wireless microphone, and then they're all in a driveway or a parking lot or something, and then all those wireless microphones get put it into a mixer, and then out of the mixer, for all of you audio people, is an FM transmitter, which is the monitor that you've been listened to in your car, and you hear you're singing with other people from the safety of your own car with this little FM transmitter. And it's amazing. A lot of choirs have been getting together and staying active as the singing ensembles using this method. And I'm actually going to be going out to Boston tomorrow morning to participate in one of these things for my first time. But Bryce Denny and Catherine Denny are the folks in the Boston area who got a website, Driveway Choirs, that is actually all about this concept. And they're going to be at our winter convergence talking about how we can actually maintain these traditions that give so much meaning to our lives, despite the pandemic.
I got to step in and tell us, this has been a very quick 25 minutes that we've been together here, but we have about one more minute. So why don't you just tell us how to contact People's Music Network, and then we'll throw it back to Donna and Ken.
Well, check us out at peoplesmusic.org. That's www.peoplesmusic.org. Thank you so much, and hope that folks will join us at our upcoming Winter Convergence from January 29th to 31st.
Thank you, Ben.
This has been so much fun. They say the time flies when you're having fun, and unfortunately, we are out of time. We will record more of this discussion in the Ecologic Green Room after the show. Join our email list to be informed when the shows are posted. Those of you online, go to www.ecoradio.org. And again, please sign up for our mailing list.
And listen in next week when Ecologic presents Andy Padian on recycling at home.
This Sunday.
Oh, thanks. This Sunday, January 24th at 11 a.m., watch the Environment TV on MNN on pipelines and climate crisis policy. Next Wednesday, January 27th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., Green Home NYC is doing a forum on the circular economy. Go to ecoradio.org for the links.
Joel, give your website.
Oh, thank you for asking. I've been hosting a show called Songs of Freedom since 1996, where you get to see and hear people like Ben and me and Ken and Donna and a lot more. Singfreedom.org, SingFreedom.org. Songs of Freedom tells me.
To listen to this show again or any episode of Ecologic and get environmental news on a variety of topics, go to our website, www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org. Now, we know that you tune into Ecologic for the wide range of environmental topics, and we appreciate you. As you know, or figured out by now, this is not commercial radio. You're not hearing advertising. This is listener-sponsored radio, and you are the listener. And we need and humbly ask for your support.
Here's how you can help.
Go to www.givetowbai.org to get any one or more of our terrific premiums by putting Eco-Logic in the search box in the upper right corner.
We would like to encourage each of you to become our buddy. Just go to www.givetowbai.org, go to the BAI Buddy page, and on the drop-down box, click on Ecologic and pledge a monthly amount, any amount. Think of what this show is worth to you.
You have our sincere thanks.
And a big thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next Friday at 2:30 p.m.
Celebrate each day's rebirth. So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
WPFW Washington and WBAI New York. I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Lloyd Austin, a retired four-star Army general, has been confirmed by the Senate, making him the first black Secretary of Defense. The Senate approved President Biden's nomination for the Pentagon chief in a near-unanimous 93-2 vote. Austin vowed to eradicate racism and extremism in the ranks. An NPR analysis has found that nearly one in five people charged over their alleged involvement in the attack on the U.S. Capitol appear to have a military history. NPR compiled a list of individuals facing federal or District of Columbia charges in connection with the events of January the 6th. Of more than 140 charged so far, at least 27 of those charged, or nearly 20%, have served or are currently serving in the military. By contrast, only about 7% of all American adults are military veterans, according to the Census Bureau. Coronavirus has infected more than 24 million and killed over 410,000 people in the United States. Globally, there have been 97 million confirmed cases and over 2 million deaths. The United States reported more than 188,000 new cases of coronavirus on Thursday and more than 3,900 deaths. The nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, spoke to reporters at the White House Thursday and was asked about the difference between working under Presidents Trump and Biden.
The idea that you can get up here and talk about what you know, what the evidence, what the science is, and know that's it. Let the science speak. It is somewhat of a liberating feeling.
Fauci acknowledged on CNN's New Day today that the Trump administration's resistance to following the science on coronavirus policy very likely cost lives. Fauci clashed with Trump on numerous issues, from the importance of wearing masks to the value of the anti-malarial drug hydroxychloroquine in combating COVID-19. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said today that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will deliver the impeachment article against Donald Trump to the Senate on Monday. The announcement means Democrats are rejecting Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's proposal to delay the start of Trump's impeachment trial until mid-February to give the former president time to prepare and review his case. The Constitution says the trial begins the afternoon after the articles are delivered to the Senate. Seven Democratic senators asked the Senate Ethics Committee to investigate the actions of Republican Senators Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, quote, to understand their role fully in the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol by supporters of Trump. The Democrats want to investigate whether Hawley and Cruz coordinated with leaders of the pro-Trump Stop the Steal rally that took place immediately before the riot. In a setback for Palestinian rights, Secretary of State nominee Tony Blinken said during his confirmation hearing this week that the Biden administration will not reverse Trump's contested move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, also recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Palestinian journalist Lama Khatir tweeted, quote, "Everything is subject to change in the agendas of successive U.S. administrations, except for absolute loyalty to Israel." Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. Currently in Washington, it's partly sunny and 48. In New York, it's cloudy and 43. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and WBAI New York.